mga isyong inalam.
Federalism like
never. Nakakaroon ng peace talks.
Oppression sa Moro people.
As math or science.
Mga perspektibong pinakinggan.
I-full support din yung mga teacher training natin.
Programa sa crime and corruption.
Alternative privacy.
Related to the ASEAN dito sa Pilipinas.
Bumubuo sa istorya ng bayan.
Pagsulong sa wikang Filipino.
Hindi naman ganun palagi ang bagsak sa mga tao.
Pag-pull out ng militar doon sa aming mga komunidad.
Dito sa DZUP Balita.
Magandang umaga, ngayon ay Huwebes, 8 ng Hunyo taong 2017. Ito ang DZUP Balita. Higit sa pagbabalita, kaagapay ninyo sa pagsalaysay ng kwento ng bayan.
Ang oras ay 5 minuto makalipas ang alas 11 ng umaga. Narito na ang mga balita para sa araw na ito.
BOC nagsampa ng mga kaso laban sa illegal na importer at broker.
Probinsya ng Maguindanao, Binaha, DSWD patuloy ang pagbibigay ng relief operations.
Mid-year semester sa UP Diliman nagsimula na ngayong araw.
Scholarship program bukas sa lahat ng visual arts and cultural criticism students ng UP Diliman.
Kahalagahan ng public speaking sa pang-araw-araw ating tatalakayin.
At talakayin natin on point ang kahalagahan ng broadcast sa iba't ibang hamon ng panahon kasama ang 2017 Gawad Plaridel Awardee, Tina Monzon Palma.
Narito ang detalye ng mga balita. Nagsimula na rin ang relief operations ng Department of Social Welfare and Development o DSWD sa mga residenteng naapektuhan ng pagbaha sa probinsya ng Maguindanao sa Mindanao. Ayon sa report ng DSWD, higit kumulang 46 na pamilya o higit 200,000 katao na ang naapektuhan ng pagbaha o naglipat ng kanilang mga tirahan. Ayon pa sa datos ng DSWD, ang mga residente sa munisipalidad ng Datu Odin Sinsuat ang pinakaapektado ng baha.
Sa ibang balita, mga mahihirap na bansa, labis na maaapektuhan sa pag-atras ni US President Trump mula sa Climate Change Pact. Nangungunang greenhouse gas emitter ng mundo ang bansang Estados Unidos. Mas mataas ang kanilang carbon emissions kumpara sa China at India. Ang kanilang pledge noong 2015 Landmark Climate Pact ay matuturing na bayad pinsala sa danyos na kanilang naidulot sa climate change. Sa ilalim ng kasunduan na ito, ipinangako ng US na pagsapit ng taong 2025, nababawasan ang kanilang greenhouse emissions ng 26-28% na mas mababa kumpara sa level noong 2005. Dagdag pa doon, kasama sa kasunduan na sila'y maglalagak ng $3 billion na tulong para sa mas mahihirap na bansa pagsapit ng 2020. Sa pag-alis mula sa Paris Act, hindi lang tinatangging kilalanin ni Trump ang kontribusyon ng US sa climate change, ngunit ito rin ay pag-abandona sa pananagutan ng US na labanan ng epekto ng climate change sa mga bansang tulad ng Pilipinas. Iginiit ni Trump na ayon sa isang pag-aaral, mawawalan ng kita at trabaho ang ilang sektor ng US kung mananatili sila sa kasunduang ito. Ayon naman sa mga siyentipiko, kung ang mga bansa ay tutupad sa kanilang mga ipinangako sa Paris Climate Pact, maiiwasan ang 0.8 degree na pagtaas ng global warming. Sa pag-atras ng US, hindi nabibigyang respeto ni Trump ang 194 na ibang bansa na pumirma sa kasunduan na tumutugon sa problema sa climate change. Hindi ito magandang balita para sa Pilipinas na madalas tamaan ng bagyo at kamakailan ay tinamaan ng super typhoon at nakakaranas ng El Niño at La Niña.
Galing po ang pahayag na yan sa isang press release na binigay sa DZUP Balita. Samantala, nagsampa pa ng magkahiwalay na dalawang kaso ang Bureau of Customs o BOC sa Department of Justice o DOJ laban sa smuggling at sa mga iba't ibang importer at customs brokers. Ang unang sinampang kaso ay laban sa Moving Forward Global Trading kung saan lumabag umano sa Customs Modernization and Tariff Act of 2016 at ng DEBT Administrative Order 1994-28 on Interim Guidelines in the Importation of Recyclable Materials Containing Hazardous Substances. Ito ay matapos ang shipment na nanggaling sa Korea na dumating mula sa MV Cristina sa Port of Cebu noong ikalawa ng Enero na naglalaman ng 2,500 metric tons ng wood chips at 2,500 na recycled synthetic resins. Ngunit sa inspeksyon at nalalaman nila na ang containers ay naglalaman ng plastic heterogeneous materials na nagkakahalaga ng 4.87 million pesos. Ipinagbawal ng DENR o Department of Natural, Environment and Natural Resources ang naturang hazardous materials. Samantala, laban naman sa Silver Crown Centennial Marketing Company ang isa pang inihain na kaso ng BOC kung saan ilegal umano ang naging shipment ng trunk components. Dineklara ng kumpanya na used replacement parts for light trucks ang shipment umano galing sa Korea na dumating ng 9 ng Pebrero taong 2015. Ngunit sa halip ay naglaman umano ito ng mga gamit na gulong at engine na walang kalakip na Certificate of Authority to Import galing sa Bureau of Import Services. Kinasuhan ng mga importers at brokers na lumabag sa Tariff and Customs Code of the Philippines sa Department of Trade and Industry, Administrative Order No. 8 Series of 2003 sa Letter of Instruction No. 1086 na nagbabawal sa importasyon ng mga gamit na gulong at labag sa Article 172 ng Revised Penal Code.
Sa puntong ito, alamin naman natin ang update tungkol sa press conference na No to Terrorism, Yes to Just Peace. Makakasama natin si Shane David live mula sa College of Mass Communication Auditorium. Shane?
Magandang umaga, Faith. Nandito nga ako ngayon sa UP College of Mass Communication Auditorium kung saan sa unang pagkakataon ay nagsasagawa ng press con ang katatatag lamang na alyansang No to Terrorism, Yes to Just Peace. Ilan sa mga kabilang sa alyansang ito ay ang ACT o Alliance of Concerned Teachers, ang CONTEND o ang Congress of Teachers for National Democracy, ang UMAGA na isang alliance ng professor sa Ateneo de Manila at ang CONTEND PUP. Ilan sa mga nagsalita na kanina lamang ay si Professor Darwin Abradi mula sa Institute of Islamic Studies, si Raymond Basilio, ang Secretary General ng Alliance of Concerned Teachers, at si Benji Valbuena, na chairperson pa rin ng ACT. Kanina ay sinabi ni Professor Abradi ng Institute of Islamic Studies na bilang isang guro, kanyang mas iniisip ngayon kung paanong ang gastos sa gera ay higit sa nagiging gastos para sa edukasyon ng mga kabataan sa Mindanao. At kanya rin iginiit na dapat ay magkaroon ng malawak na pagtingin at solusyon sa matagal at masalimuot na umanong kasaysayan ng problema sa Mindanao. Kung saan sabi niya sa kanilang mga pag-aaral ay karamihan sa mga napapabahagi ng mga rebelyon ay mga ulila na wala ding pinanghahawak ang ideolohiya to begin with. Kaya naman, ang panawagan ni Raymond Basilio, ang Secretary General ng ACT, ay dapat ay isulong ang peace talks upang maugat umano ang root cause ng mga hidwaan sa bansa kung kumpara sa kasalukuyan umanong militaristic approach ng ating pamahalaan. Sinabi din ng alliance na binibigay nito ang suporta sa National Day of Prayer and Action for Peace and Human Rights sa darating na June 12, 4 p.m. sa Bonifacio Shrine. Ako si Shane David mula dito sa CMC Auditorium para sa DZUP Balita.
Maraming salamat, Shane David.
Iyan ang unang bahagi ng DZUP Balita. Magbabalik po kami makalipas ang ilang paalala.
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1600. Tayo na makinig sa DZUP 1600. Ikaw ang bota tayo sa DZUP 1600.
Yan, sikay na. Ha? Ma'am, classmates, sikay na. Ha? Mga kasama, sikay na. Ha?
Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan.
Sikay Kilos, sisikay na sa At Your Service tuwing Biyernes, alas 12 ng tanghali.
Inihahandog ng Children's Museum and Library Incorporated ang Pintakasi sa July 1 sa Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. Ang Pintakasi ay isang school-to-school outreach program para sa mga mag-aaral ng Grade 1. Para sa karagdagang impormasyon, maaari ninyong tawagan si Galahan Ventura sa 0942-268-6195 o si Vincent Melora sa 0977-777-9035. Pwede rin magpadala ng email sa cmli.jcreb2017@gmail.com. Ito'y hatid sa inyo ng Children's Museum and Library Incorporated sa pakikipagtulungan ng DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Wala namang nakakaintindi sa akin.
Hindi na nauubos ang mga problema ko. Naawa lang sila sa akin.
Wala nang silbi ang buhay ko.
Ang depresyon ay hindi basta-basta. Maaari itong humantong sa malalang problema. Ang mga taong nagdadaan sa kondisyong ito ay nangangailangan ng pangunawa at profesional na pag-alaga. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
DZUP Balita.
Nagbabalik po tayo dito sa DZUP Balita. Ang oras natin ay 17 minuto magkalipas ang alas 11 ng umaga.
Mas mahabang panayam sa mga eksperto, otoridad at mga advocate ang hatid ng DZUP Balita On Point. Ngayong umaga, makakasama natin si Professor Carlo De Pano mula sa Department of Speech Communication ng College of Arts and Letters para bigyan tayo ng tips sa usapin ng public speaking. Magandang umaga, sir!
Yeah, good morning.
Opo, si Gian po ito ng DZUP. Good morning, Sir
Depano. Hi, Gian.
Hi, sir. Okay po. Para po sa kaalaman ng lahat, maaari niyo po bang ibahagi kung ano ang kahalagahan ng public speaking sa pang-araw-araw na buhay?
Public speaking or public communication in general is quite important as it allows any individual practically to persuade people, inform people, disseminate information, even entertain them to a certain extent. Public speaking as a level of communication, I suppose, may operate or rather may overlap with other levels of speech communication. But particularly, I'd like to emphasize that public speaking may be used to inform, to persuade, and of course, to entertain.
Mm-mm. Paano po ba nagiging epektibong public speaker, sir?
That's a broad question, because it may depend on the mode of delivery.
Mm-mm.
So, but basically, as long as you can get your message across, as long as your audience understands your point, then you are a good speaker. We have to be reminded of the fact that public speaking always is audience-centered, so it's never speaker-centered. So the point there is you have to satisfy the needs of your audience. And as you satisfy the needs, or every time you satisfy the needs, you may say that you are successful in public speaking.
Mm-mm. Para po sa mga gustong maging effective and credible public speaker, ano pong payo ninyo upang sila'y mainam na makapaghanda sa kanilang presentation o speech?
Siguro yung unang-una, ito yung most basic or most fundamental issue ng, well, not just students, but public speakers in general, or those people who have jobs that require public speaking or presentation skills. Ang pinaka-usual na problema in communication apprehension, or more commonly known as stage fright, speech fright, stage anxiety. So siguro, yun yung unang dapat ma-address. Kapag kasi na-address na yun, it would be a lot easier for these people to deliver effective speeches. Pero contrary to common idea or common notion that public speaking anxiety should be totally avoided, we encourage those who would want to deliver very good speeches to actually just manage it. The point there is you can't overcome it, but you can manage it effectively and you can use it to your advantage. You're not supposed to overcome it, primarily because it is energy. So if you assume that you totally overcome it, then your speech would be boring. There are many techniques to address communication apprehension issues depending on the specific type of communication apprehension. Siguro next time, if we have more time, we can discuss all the different types because there are different solutions depending on the communication apprehension type that you experience.
Opo, at para naman po sa mga impromptu speeches, ano pong mga simpleng tips para ang babahagi niyo po sa amin para maparating sa ng mas maayos ng mga speaker ang kanilang mensahe?
All right, that's a very good question because very often, impromptu public speakers are given, say, only 2 minutes or 1 minute to deliver their presentations. And most of the time, what they do is they talk fast kasi gusto nilang ma-deliver yung message, the entirety of the message, no, sa audience. Ang mali kasi doon, if you're given only a certain amount of time, you have to choose which among these points are the most important. And you discuss only those points. Ang mali yung perception na dapat ma-deliver ko sila lahat.
Mm-hmm.
So, bibilisan ko na lang magsalita just so I can deliver the entire message in 1 minute or in 2 minutes or whatever the time limit is. So, that is not really accurate and that's not really effective. Ang kailangan, ma-pinpoint mo among these, alin ba yung kailangan malaman ng audience. So, if for example, merong 3 or 4 points lang, then dapat yung 4 points na yun yung mag-serve as your outline.
Mm-mm. So, within that time frame na ibibigay sa'yo to prepare for impromptu speeches, doon mo dapat kailangan ma-ascertain kung ano po ba ang mga main arguments na natatalakayin nyo po.
Right, right. And siguro, apart from that, important din na maintindihan ng audience or ng listeners nyo rather na hindi naman you can't master the art of public speaking, say, in one semester or in 1 year or in 2 years. It's a continuous process. And as you expose yourself to different communication transactions, say, at the interpersonal level, it becomes a lot easier for you to deliver public speeches. So, ang point dun, kung mas madalas kang makikommunicate sa iba-ibang levels of human interaction, mas madali din para sa'yo na mag-deliver ng public speech. Mas marami kang experience, which you may use as your example. Mas marami kang references, mas marami kang anecdotes or stories, and so on. And these stories and anecdotes or these supporting materials come very naturally as you deliver your presentation. Kasi nga, they're already there. So the basic tip, perhaps, is to expose yourself to as many communication transactions as possible.
Mm-mm. Sir, ano po bang mas mahalaga? Yung content ng mensahe na ipinaparating ni po ninyo or yung the manner that you do the public speaking?
Alright, very good question. Lagi, just like what I always tell my students, well, the manner of delivery is important. It matters. Of course, your audience pays attention to the manner of delivery. The content always is more important. So the content of your speech should discuss all the important things that you have to say. The point there is, regardless of how good the delivery is, if the content is not very appealing or the content is problematic, then the speech is not effective. So, dapat magbigay ng mas mataas na attention or greater attention doon sa content kaysa sa delivery.
Mm-mm.
But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the delivery is not important. It is important.
Mm-mm.
But if we compare the two, I would say that the content is always more important than the manner of delivery.
Mm-mm. Sir, ano po bang ilang halimbawa ng paggamit ng public speaking sa pang-araw-araw na pamumuhay?
Siguro depende yan primarily sa trabaho mo. So sa teacher, for example, yung classroom lectures, these are public speaking transactions. Sa corporate world, as you present your proposal before a specific type of audience, that is so public speaking or public presentation, we call it a speech for a particular occasion or a speech for a special occasion. The point there is, it strongly depends on the nature of your job or what you do in life, but in a more, I would say, in a wider view or in a more generic view, public speaking, as you acquire public speaking skills, you become more competent as a communicator. Kasi kapag sabi natin effective ka na as public speaker, that means you are confident enough to assert yourself, to deliver presentations, to communicate with other people. So, dun pa lang sa aspect ng confidence, kapag meron ka na, regardless of the situation, whatever the communicative act is, you're always more effective. So, kahit hindi sa public speaking itself, of course, some may argue that, you know, I don't deliver speeches every day because my work does not require me to deliver public presentations. Therefore, I don't need the skills. That's not true. Kasi yung confidence building pala or yung confidence enhancement na ipoprovide ng public communications training, malaking bagay na siya. Practically, in every aspect or in any aspect of your life, regardless of what your job is or what you do in your life.
Mm-mm. Sir, how important is grammar and pronunciation when we do public speaking?
Okay, i-coconnect ko yan dun sa question na ano yung mas importante, yung content or yung delivery. Of course, there are many studies, local studies in the country, there are many local studies arguing that grammar is important and that it affects your ethos or your credibility as the source of communication. But I'd like to believe that grammar always is secondary. So the point there is, while your command of a particular language, say the English language, is important, yung content pa rin, yung important. Basta naiintindihan ka ng audience, naiintindihan nila yung gusto mong sabihin, kahit sabihin natin halimbawa na yung grammar ay na-compromise, okay pa rin yung presentation. This is not to say that grammar is not important. Grammar is important, and this is backed up by many empirical studies. Ang point ko lang dito, baka masyadong maging conscious ang isang tao sa grammar niya, to the extent na hindi na de-deliver ng maayos yung content dahil we pay so much attention to grammar. Hindi dapat nun. Yung content pa rin. Always it's the content.
Opo. At dahil po professor po kayo ng speech communication, maaari po ba kayong magbigay ng magandang anecdote na kung saan ang isang estudyante nyo po ay mula madalas siyang makaranas ng stage fright ay kalaunan ay mas naging mainam na siya sa salita sa publiko.
Okay. I've been handling Speech 136, that's forms of public address, for quite some time now. Usually, makikita mo yung development ng skills ng students towards the end of the semester. Kasi most students would deliver, say, about 5 to 6 speeches. So, sa umpisa ng semester, sa first speech, medyo problematic yung delivery, problematic yung organizational pattern, organization of thoughts and ideas, and so on. Pero dahil continuous yung exposure, just like what I said earlier, wala silang choice eh. Diretso yung exposure.
Nawala po sa ating linya ng komunikasyon si Professor Carlo De Pano. Sisikapin po natin siyang matawagan muli kaugnay dito sa mga tips ng mainam na pagsasalita sa publiko, public speaking. Kanya nga nang nabahagi sa nasabing panayam na para sa kanya mas maganda na pagtuunan ng pansin ng public speaker ang content ng kanyang mensahe. Nandito na po ulit si Professor Carlo De Pano.
Yeah.
Opo. Sige po sir, pagpatuloy right. Niya po.
Yeah. So again, dahil may, just like what I was saying here, dahil nga may continuous exposure ng student sa various speeches, tas ilang beses na pa-practice yan, makikita mo towards the end of the semester, mas confident na sila, less na yung time na kailangan nilang mag-prepare, less na rin yung kailangan ng effort to rehearse and so on. Kasi nga, it becomes very natural to them. Nagiging part na siya nung skills, nung total skills ng isang student. So at the end of the day, it's really about exposure to communication transactions. Well, specifically public speaking. Ibig sabihin eh, kung mas na-expose ka sa mas maraming speeches, then it becomes so easy for you to deliver an impromptu speech or, well, regardless of the mode of delivery, madali na siya sa'yo.
Opo. At bilang panghuli na lang po, Professor, meron po ba kayong tip po para sa nahihirapan sa wikang Ingles o sa iisang language dahil sanay sila sa code switching?
Okay, so of course, ideally, it would always be better to stick with one particular language as you deliver your presentation, regardless of the language, may it be Filipino or English. But we also have to acknowledge the developments in the field. Ngayon naman kasi, tinatanggap na natin kahit magkaroon ng code switching. Bakit? Kasi babalik tayo din sa argument na yung content yung mas importante.
Mm-hmm.
So kung yung audience mo, after studying your audience, after analyzing who your listeners are, nakita mo na mas appealing sa kanila kung dalawang languages ang gagamitin ko, mas maiintindihan nila, mas malalaman nila yung point ko, then to a certain extent, you're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi masyado namang strict or masyado namang by the book kapag sabi, no, it's just English all the way, it's just Filipino all the way. Of course, we have to consider the context, we have to consider the degree of formality required, and so on. But as a general rule, I wouldn't say that it's not allowed to use both languages. You may use both languages as long as you're certain that your audience would understand your presentation. Kasi ang point ko, baka mamaya, sobra ka nagsistick sa isang language, say the use of English language, talagang you're faithful to it. Ang problema, dun sa process ng pag-deliver ng presentation, yung audience na yun naiiwan. Mm-hmm. Ibig sabihin sila na yung hindi nakaka-appreciate ng message. What's the point of giving that message? Remember, public speaking is audience-centered. So, your speech does not appeal to your audience regardless of how good your grammar is. Baliwala.
Okay po. At dahil po dyan, nagpapasalamat na po kami sa inyo, Professor Carlo Dipano, mula sa Department of Speech Communication ng UP College of Arts and Letters. Maraming salamat, Professor. Sa pagpapatuloy ng DZUP Balita, mapapakinggan na natin ang VOA Asia hatid ni James Stevenson. Magbabalik po ang DZUP Balita makalipas ang ilang paalala.
DZUP Balita.
Nagbabalik ang DZUP Balita. Ang oras ay 32 minuto makalipas ang alas 11 ng umaga. Sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pagbabalita, hatid ng Voice of America Asia o VOA Asia ang mga balita sa Asia. Samahan natin si James Stevenson para sa VOA Asia.
For them to now decide they want to build a base there shouldn't surprise us too much.
China expands its military bases. It's Thursday, June 8th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. You can join us online as well at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, a visit with Myanmar's internally displaced persons. Diving into the South China Sea dispute. And the finale of an interplanetary voyage. We get started right now with VOA Asia. The U.S. Defense Department, in an annual report to Congress released Tuesday, said China most likely will seek to establish additional military bases in countries where it has good relations and shared strategic interests. China broke ground last year on what it has called a support facility in the strategically located Horn of Africa country of Djibouti, adjacent to the U.S. Central Command's Camp Lemonnier. In the Pentagon's 97-page report, it said another likely location for a Chinese base would be Pakistan, already its chief client for weapons. It said this initiative, along with regular naval vessel visits to foreign ports, both reflects and amplifies China's growing influence, extending the reach of its armed forces. Carl Baker of the defense think tank Pacific Forum in Hawaii tells VOA's Victor Beatty, since 2011, Japan has also had a base in Djibouti dedicated to anti-piracy operations off the Somali coast.
If you recall, we really invited the Chinese to participate in these patrols in that part of the world. And so for them to now decide they want to build a base there shouldn't surprise us too much. But more importantly, your larger point about the anticipation that the Chinese are going to want to build a string of bases around as they develop their economic involvement in the rest of the world. You know, that's always been the suspicion. That's always been the fear. In fact, you know, the report talks about the Indians talking about the string of pearls. And so this is sort of, is this going to become the realization of the string of pearls, which has been around for, you know, maybe 20 years now in the literature. So, you know, I think that this certainly is a concern. We shouldn't dismiss it. But I think we also have to recognize that as China becomes more involved in the Belt and Road Initiative and economic engagement in the Middle East and other areas, that we should anticipate that they will have more activity. Now, whether they need to build a military base in the sense of a large installation like the United States does, we haven't seen that yet.
Why do they need bases worldwide?
I don't think they do, and I don't think they intend to build bases worldwide. I think what they're looking for, what I've seen for the Chinese, is that they're looking for places to dock their ships going and coming from the Sea of Aden.
Its last year estimate of Chinese military spending exceeded $180 billion. Is that bigger than it's been in the past?
It is bigger, and they've steadily increased. This year, if you remember, I think the number that the Chinese used was that they were going to increase by 7%, which is less than they have been spending. It certainly is something to take note of, and it's something to pay attention to, the fact that they are continuing to expand their defense spending. But what we aren't real sure of is how that money is necessarily being spent. Is it really being spent on developing a blue water Navy to some extent? Yes. Is it being spent on increasing costs for personnel? To some extent, yes. The numbers are growing, but China is growing, and so I think we have to anticipate that they will continue to build a stronger military. The real question is, does that necessarily mean that they're going to extend their reach around the world? And I think that is what we haven't seen yet.
The U.S. Defense report said China's Djibouti base will allow it to participate in UN peacekeeping operations, carry out escort missions in waters near Somalia and the Gulf of Aden, and provide humanitarian assistance. The report also took note of China's launch last year of its first experimental quantum communications satellite, calling it a notable advance in cryptography research. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. Beijing lashes out over Pentagon report on Chinese military. South Korea tries to slow walk THAAD. Philippines asks social media to remove militant video. UN chief warns of serious clean water shortages by the year 2050. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories, and there's much more, on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also, be sure to stop by our VOAnews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. Officials in Myanmar say debris has been found from a military plane carrying more than 100 people that went missing Wednesday. VOA Burmese was told the debris was found around Horseshoe Bay, and a rescue team went there as soon as locals reported the location. The Chinese-made Y-8-200F plane, carrying mostly family members of military personnel, was flying from southeastern Myanmar on the Andaman coast to Yangon, Myanmar's largest city. Meanwhile, in Myanmar, more than 200,000 people remain internally displaced by past and current conflicts, despite increased international development. Steve Sanford speaks to Karin Internally Displaced Persons, or IDPs, about the difficulties that accompany impending camp closures.
Here in Etutaw IDP camp, more than 3,000 ethnic Karin people get by on basic supplies provided by local and international aid. But many of those who have been traumatized by past conflicts now face an uncertain future, as funding cuts could force camp closures without adequate resettlement plans. For landmine victim Sei Kalu, the prospect of rushing back to his former home village is inconceivable.
If we really have no choice and we have to leave this camp, it's going to be very difficult for me to go back. I definitely can't go back to our original home or land because the Burmese soldiers are still there. I'm afraid to go back.
Instability caused by sporadic fighting continues to hurt the school system in many of the ethnic areas. But a fragile ceasefire in Karin State has eased the stress for students amid government promises of building more schools, at least for some of the population. Instructor Mieto Tu, who was educated in the camp before becoming a teacher, says there's a need for balance and equality.
All the ethnic groups live in the same country. I would really like to see everybody have the same equal rights and treatment. But it doesn't happen. So this is what we have to face these days.
Local civil society groups are teaching villagers about land rights and say foreign business is moving too quickly into old conflict zones. Former Karen National Union Vice President Zipra Sain says transparency and proper land compensation are key to building future trust.
The foreign companies come to invest in Burma without talking with the local communities. They never provide any information or details to the villagers and about the impact. The companies don't consider corporate social responsibilities for the community.
As development floods into Myanmar, many in the ethnic areas hope workable plans for secure repatriation and resettlement will accompany it. Steve Sanford for VOA, Karen State, Myanmar.
Visit voanews.com or stop by our VOA Asia Facebook page to see video with Steve Sanford's story. This news alert from VOA Asia, six Islamic militants who Indonesia police accused of plotting to fire a rocket at downtown Singapore from a nearby island were handed prison sentences for harboring other extremists, violating Indonesia's anti-terrorism law by hiding two Chinese Uyghurs. Check VOA 60 online for the day's top headlines. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The U.S. government is challenging China over its dominant position in Asia's major maritime sovereignty dispute, but those moves, after months of silence, are seen as aimed at reassuring nervous Southeast Asian countries rather than a major anti-Beijing pivot. U.S. President Donald Trump has shelved the South China Sea issue for most of his nearly half-year term as he tries to get along with Beijing, especially seeking Chinese help in throttling missile and nuclear weapons development in North Korea. The Southeast Asian claimants had wondered whether Trump would risk a break in China's help on North Korea to challenge its maritime expansion, says Oh Sun, international studies instructor at Singapore Nanyang University. He called the Trump government's approach to the South China Sea to date case by case and spontaneous.
A lot of countries in the region, we are eagerly awaiting such a pronouncement of a more prominent U.S. policy here, but so far I don't think we have seen it yet. But I think both the frequency as well as the intensity of U.S. so-called freedom of navigation operation on South China Sea nowadays, they are perhaps no way as frequent and as intense as during the Obama administration.
China is seen as ready to talk and offer aid in exchanging for avoiding harsh protests against China's maritime military expansion. China offered the Philippines $24 billion in aid and investment last year. It has also pumped Vietnam's economy with tourists while discussing maritime cooperation. Also upping the pressure on China, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson told ministers from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations last month that militarization and island building in the sea must stop while sovereignty disputes are being hashed out. Still, the U.S. government must be, quote, walking and chewing gum at the same time to sustain cooperation with Beijing on North Korea, says Carl Thayer, Southeast Asia's specialized emeritus professor of politics at the University of New South Wales in Australia.
At some point this year, hopefully, a national security strategy will emerge from which will flow a maritime national security strategy that will then fill in the details. Maybe these comments by Mathis and Tillerson are an indication of the kind of elements that would be in a national security strategy. What has to be judged is how strongly China is going to react.
As North Korea's chief ally, China said via Communist Party-run media, it would increase sanctions that could cut the amount of petroleum exported to North Korea, which relies on China for about 90% of its petroleum imports. China protested U.S. destroyers' navigation in the Spratly Islands by seeking an explanation for the move, which it said trespassed into its waters. Analysts say its reaction overall to the Trump administration's South China Sea position is milder than the same under former President Obama. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings in Taipei for sending us this report. Now on VOA Asia, it took 7 years for the deep space probe Cassini to reach Saturn. And since 2005, it has been studying the planet and its moons, sending troves of photos and information back to Earth. As the spacecraft reaches the end of its useful life, scientists will soon send it on one last mission. VOA's George Pudich tells us it will penetrate Saturn's atmosphere until it burns up.
In the noisy environment of the California Science Center, visitors explored the life-size replica of the Cassini spacecraft. Meantime, millions of kilometers away, the real space probe orbits the giant planet in total silence, slowly burning the last drops of its fuel.
Scientists and engineers have decided that instead of just letting it run out of fuel on its own and then not being able to control any of its instruments, they're going to manually and intentionally deorbit the spacecraft.
There are two reasons for sending Cassini to its fiery death. Without its engines, it will be out of control and could cause irreparable damage to Saturn's moon Enceladus, which researchers believe may harbor some primitive life.
Scientists are afraid that it's going to crash into Enceladus, and there's some potential for contamination. You don't want to contaminate a place that could potentially host life if you want to actually go there and study it someday.
The other reason is more exciting. Probe will get as close as possible to the planet's surface.
As soon as we hit the upper atmosphere, the probe is going to start to fall apart. It'll start to burn up because of the friction with the upper atmosphere. And so when the process starts, there's only a matter of time, but they're going to be sending back as much information as they can, as quickly as they can.
Cassini has already earned its place in the history of space research. It discovered 7 new moons orbiting Saturn and landed a probe on Titan, one of the largest moons. During its numerous flybys of the most interesting moon, Enceladus, Cassini discovered evidence of a large internal ocean of salty water, which points to a possibility of microbial life. Scientists will be studying for years the huge amount of data Cassini sent to the Earth. The final day of this joint project between U.S., European and Italian space agencies will be September 15th. George Pudich, VOA News, Washington.
And you can check out the amazing images that Cassini has sent back on NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory website, saturn.jpl.nasa.gov. And the website's been titled Cassini, the grand finale. It's our grand finale. We thank you for listening to VOA Asia. We thank all of our listeners, too, who have joined us in Myanmar via Facebook at VOA Burmese. Thank you so much. We're glad to have you with us today. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Jim Harmon, managing editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden and David Bird are on the VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Have a wonderful day.
Sikay na, ha? Ma'am, classmates, sikay na, ha? Huh? Mga kasama, sikay na, ha?
Huh? Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan.
Sikay kilos. Sisikay na sa At Your Service tuwing Biyernes, alas 12 ng tanghali.
BZUP Balita.
Nagbabalik ang BZUP Balita. Ang oras ay 11:01 bago mag-alas 12 ng tanghali.
Sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pagbabalita, isang batikang broadcaster na nagbukas ng maraming oportunidad sa mga kababaihan sa panahong ang media ay dinodomina ng mga kalalakihan at nagpatuloy sa pamamahayag maging sa panahon ng batas militar na idineklara ng dating Pangulong Marcos. Kinilala ngayong taon bilang 2017 UP Gawad Plaridel Awardee si Ms. Tina Munzon Palma. Ngayong umaga makakapanayam natin siya tungkol sa kahalagahan ng broadcast sa iba't ibang hamon ng panahon. Magandang umaga po, Ms. Tina Munzon Palma. Magandang umaga po, ma'am. Nasa linya na po ba kayo ng ating komunikasyon?
Hello.
Hello, ma'am.
Can you hear me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Ma'am, you're on air po. Ako po si Faith Navarro. Kasama po natin dito si Gian Librojo sa DZUP Balita.
Okay. Magandang... So, ano, kamusta kayo?
Ito po, nagbabalik po tayo on air. Maraming salamat po sa pagbibigay po ng oportunidad ngayong araw dahil...
Ako rin. I'm very, very honored.
Nakakonekta na po kami kahapon at ngayong araw naman po, eh, sana yung signal natin maliwanag na talaga.
Oo, pero mas malinis kasi yung landline, di ba?
Opo. Ito na po ang una nating katanungan. Ano po ba ang pinakamalaking hamon na pinagdaanan nyo bilang isang broadcaster?
Alam mo, hindi ko masyado pinapansin yung mga hamon na dinaanan ko. Ang pinapansin ko yung opportunity na para pagbutihin yung profesyon ng pagiging broadcast journalist in my case and being part of television. So yun, doon ako nag-focus. Although may mga hamon, pero it comes with the job eh.
Mm-hmm.
Yung mga challenges na yun, meron kang siguro mga taong hindi ka binibigyan ng pagkakataon para ikaw ay makagamit ng lahat ng talento mo for broadcasting, for news writing, for producing a TV or a radio program. So yun, mga challenges na yun, hindi mo titingnan because kasama yun ng trabaho mo. Kung finocus mo yung challenges na yun, mahihirapan kang mag-isip ng malinaw at mag-focus. So noong mga panahon yun, hindi ko masyado tiningnan yun. Ang tinitingnan ko, yung ano yung magagawa ko para mapabuti pa yung aking trabaho bilang isang sumusulat ng news, nag-produce ng newscast, nag-organize ng team para mag-news gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So titingnan mo kung ano yung kakayanan ng bawat tao at you don't always have a perfect team on the ground, no? Mm-hmm. So you will have to be always listening and listening to them on what their skills are and what they still want to do to be able to grow. Because some of them cannot be on camera, all of them, di ba?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
May mga taong kaya na pwede silang mag-on camera, meron mga taong na hindi pwede. So hahanapin mo yung talento ng bawat tao na nasa team mo, and then minimal na lang yung magiging challenge.
Opo. Ma'am, nagsimula po kayo nung panahon ng martial law, ma'am, at... Para po sa inyo, gaano po ba kahalaga ang papel ng isang broadcaster sa panahon ng martial law?
Ang papel ng isang broadcaster doesn't come with an era eh. Is not shaped by an era, although yung pagharap mo dun sa mga sinasabi nga yung challenges ay kailangan nakikita mo yon kung ano yung mga nangyayari sa kapalag in your environment that will make it difficult for you to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
So merong mga nakita natin nung panahon ng martial law na merong mga ibang mga grupo o may mga taong nakikita na hindi nila gusto bigyan ng boses yung katotohanan. Diba? Gusto nila maaring pwede nilang habang sila ay nanunungkulan ay ibigay yung punto de vista nila. So wala naman akong problema na ibigay yung punto ni vista ng mga taong may gusto ring sabihin, ano? Pero ang final call nun is yung manunulat, yung producer, yung news writer, yung anchor, yung the whole editorial team is going to put together a very, a very total picture of what the facts of the case is. What the facts of the story is, no? So yun ang kailangan tingnan, no? Pero wag ka ang naalala ko lang sa panahon ko ay hindi ko masyadong binigyan ng halaga yung ganun eh. Pero because ang paniniwala ko, kung ako ay hawak-hawak ko yung katotohanan, walang pwedeng, ang pwede lang ay humingi ng sinasabi nilang equal time, no? Pero hindi nila pwede buwagin yung katotohanan na nakita ng editorial team, nakita ng reporter, nakita ng writer. So hindi ka pwedeng buwagin kung ang hawak mo yung totoo.
Mm-mm. Ma'am, nabanggit nyo nga po yung katotohanan, ma'am. At sa panahon po ngayon ay nilulupig po tayo ng mga alternative facts at fake news. Ma'am, gaano po ba kahalaga na ipaglaban ng isang broadcaster or anyone in the media yung katotohanan and how difficult it is to fight for the truth?
Depende sa kabuuan ng loob mo eh. Kasi kung matatag ang loob mo, kung tama o may prinsipyo ka at may values ka, hindi ka mabubuwag eh. Because ikaw ang may control ng computer. Mm-hmm. Ikaw ang nag-e-edit eh. So ikaw ang huhubog ng kwentong makatotohanan.
Mm-hmm.
So hindi mo pwedeng sabihin merong may pipigil sa'yo, hindi nila gagamitin yung storya nyo. Merong magkakaroon ng mga layers of editorial changes, no? Titingnan nila, ibabalansin nila kunwari yung storya. Pero yung meat of the story, I think every journalist or every human being in his heart cannot change the truth because meron sinasabi mong nanlulupig sa kanila.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they will try, but you will do your best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think magshine yung katotohanan eh.
Mm-hmm.
Tama ba yung word shine?
Ngayon pong panahon na to, meron pa rin naman po talagang mga journalists na matutuwid. Ngunit kahit na mag-present tayo ng katotohanan, ng maayos na mga pahayag, meron pa rin lumalabas na mga fake news nga o alternative facts.
Oo.
Paano po naman po dapat ito salain ng ating mga kababayan?
Ang pagsasala ay ang pagbibigay ng katotohanan at ang pagpupursige, at I don't know what persistence is in Tagalog, no? Yung ibibigay mo at magkakaroon ka ng credibility at integrity at honest ka dun sa ginagawa mo. Wala, ano eh, mananamify ka dun sa mga napakaraming fake news or kung ano-anong buri ng balitang lumalabas eh. At I think, naniniwala ako, the truth will shine.
Mm-hmm.
Yun ang lalabas eh, yun ang lulutang eh. Maski na gaano karaming iba-ibang version ng isang storya, at some point, yung nanonood o yung nakikinig o nagbabasa, makikita nila yun eh.
Mm-hmm.
Kung mahusay o tama yung ating pamamaraan at yung ating credentials ba o yung history na kung paano ka nagsusulat, it comes with your person eh.
Mm-hmm.
Yung nilalabas yung storya comes with, they know who wrote it, they know who covered it, they know who edited it. Malalaman somewhere down the road eh. So I don't think we should be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Dapat huwag natin masyadong bigyan pansin itong mga fake news, and we're really fussing over them.
Mm-hmm.
They should fuss about the truth that you give.
Mm-hmm.
Apektado sila eh. Pag tama yung binibigay mo, they will learn na hindi pala fake news. Because how much of fake news can you actually take? Because what they try to do is they try to give different versions of fake news.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it gets to them, it's so watered down, nobody believes it. So, but the truth is unshaken because it will always be the same story.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? The truthful story. So, huwag kayong masyadong kabahan sa pagpasok nitong mga iba't ibang uri ng pamamaraan sa social media because ang lulutang at magsashine.
Ito naman po,
naniniwala ka ba?
Ah, ako po naniniwala po ako kasi kung maraming kasinungalingan, hindi mo naman kailangang isa-isahin kung ano yung mga kasinungalingan. Basta alam mo yung katotohanan, alam mo na.
Hindi mo kailangan iba-ibahin eh. Mm-hmm. Diba, when it's the truth, do you change the story? You don't. If this was the person who killed it, who killed another person, mm-hmm. do you change the name?
Mm-hmm.
Hindi eh. It stays constant.
Mm-hmm.
The truth
mm-hmm.
is constant.
At ang mga nagsasabi ng katotohanan ay may consistency din sa kanilang pamamahayag.
May consistency yun. Hindi nila pwedeng buwagin. I mean, they will try to by using other means, pero mm-hmm. at the end, it's going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
The
Ma'am,
truth.
Para po sa huli nating katanungan para po sa inyo bilang ating Gawad Plaridel Awardee ngayong 2017, ano po ang mensahe ninyo bilang si Miss Tina Monzon Palma sa ating mga nag-aaspire na maging broadcaster?
Aha. Mahirap yan. Huwag niyong gayahin si Tina Monzon Palma ang unang advice ko because iba-iba mm-hmm. ang pamamaraan at ang ating mga talento eh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you will have somebody to look up to but do not model yourself
mm-hmm.
after someone. You have to be better than Tina. You have to be better than all of these people because meron kang ibang kailangan dalin dun sa profession eh.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, apart from the basic values that you've learned in school, apart from the principles of integrity, of honesty, and fairness, kailangan meron kang, yung sarili mo bang add-on, I don't know what you call that in Tagalog, yung... Mm-hmm. Yung sarili mong discarte ba yun? Mm-hmm. Naman,
X-factor
ano.
Po.
Ano?
X-factor po ba itong sinasabi natin?
yun. Kailangan mm-hmm. merong kanon. Hindi ka pwedeng sabihin, I like to be like her.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be like her and him.
Hindi mm-hmm.
eh. You have to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Ikaw yun. Ikaw yung magdadala ng pangalan mo. Ikaw ang gagawa. Hindi mo sasabihin, ay, ginaya lang niya si Ganerente.
Mm-hmm.
Ikaw ito.
Ikaw ang gagawa ng sarili mong ikaw identity at pangalan.
Opo. Mm-hmm. O, tama na. Mahaba na ito.
maraming salamat
Thank
po.
Thank you. What is your name again?
Ako po si Faith Navarro. Kasama ko pa rin po dito si Gian Librojo para sa DZUP Balita. Maraming salamat po sa ating 2017 UP Gawad Plaridel Awardee Miss Tina Monzon Palma. Sana po ay makasama namin kayo sa susunod pang mga panayam dito sa DZUP Balita.
At yan ang mga balitang tinutukan ng DZUP News Team sa mas pinahaba at pinalawak na pagbabalita kasama ang aming executive producer na si Ivy Claudio, Shane David na aming newscast director at Shara Colliado na ating news desk. Kasama din natin si Jem Bauca na aming intern. Maraming salamat din sa ating technical staff na sina Raymond Yu, Julius Bantog, Jerry Rosario at Gerald Carranza. Kami ang inyong mga tagapagbalita. Ako si Gian Librojo.
At ako naman si Faith Navarro. Sundan kami sa aming social media accounts na at DZUP Balita sa Facebook, Twitter at Instagram. Para sa iba pang mga balita, maaari niyong bisitahin ang dzup.org.
Ito ang DZUP Balita. Higit sa pagbabalita, kagapay ninyo sa pagsalaysay ng kwento ng bayan. Susunod na ang programang Why Spend?
Magandang tanghali.
Mga isyong inalam.
Federalism like
nagkakaroon ng pisto.
Oppressions sa more people.
As math or science.
Mga perspektibong pinakinggan.
I-full support din yung mga teacher training natin.
Programa sa crime and corruption.
Alternative privacy.
Related to the ASEAN dito sa Pilipinas.
Bumubuo sa istorya ng bayan.
Pagsulong sa wikang Filipino.
Hindi naman ganun palagi ang bagsak sa mga
tao. Pag-pull out ng militar doon sa aming mga komunidad.
Dito sa DZUP Balita.